to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, the final hour is now upon us. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards, sitting here tonight inside my comfortable studio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, my flagship radio station, AM 1380, WLRM, home sweet home. Been here for 7 years and counting now. Great to be back with you. We're, of course, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and streaming online or online simulcast at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And by the way, speaking of the studio and speaking of thepoliticalcesspool.org, let me tell you this. If you go to our website tonight and, you know, on any normal day, Sunday through Friday, we update the website with two or three breaking news stories, always keep fresh, hot content there at our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. But on Saturday, for the full 24 hours on Saturday, it's just a promo for that evening's weekly live show. And there we list for you the guest, if any, that we're going to be having on the show that evening. And some of the stories that we're going to be talking about during the show on that particular night. We've done that again this evening, as we always do on Saturdays. But we've added something special for you. A little behind-the-scenes video of us sitting here at the Political Cesspool Studio here at 1380 WLRM. It was actually a video promo that we filmed last year before the show, but we haven't put it up on the website in nearly a year, so I figured it'd still be pretty fresh because the studio, we're still in the same studio. The only thing is we've decorated the walls, got a lot of pictures and memorabilia up on the walls now, and they're not visible in the video there, but it's kind of interesting, you know. You listen to us on the radio, but you never really get to see us do our work because, after all, it is radio, not television. But here in this very sneak peek, this video promo, you get to see inside our broadcast studio. And, you know, we're happy to make that available to you. Little behind-the-scenes stuff there. So check it out for yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Just go to the promo for tonight's show, appropriately titled, Listen to the Political Cesspool Radio Program Live Tonight, Saturday, October 8th, 6 to 9 p.m. Central, and then there you'll pick up the video. Sorry for the shaky footage. We had Keith Alexander serving as cameraman that day, and he must have had a little bit too much caffeine because he was all over the place, but I think you can still watch it without getting nauseous. And Bill Rowland and I are in the video doing a little promo. Keith is filming. Winston Smith and Eddie the Vomiter Miller weren't there the day we shot this, but it's there. And I tell you, that's something you could be seeing a lot more of as things continue to hurtle into the future. Don't forget that we are working with the National Policy Institute to do more video production from inside the broadcast studios. So this just may be a little taste of what you're going to be getting in the very near future, and we look forward to unveiling that and many more projects as our evolution in talk radio continues. But check it out again, ladies and gentlemen, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You'll see the studio. Okay, that being said, I know we've spent the first couple of hours tonight exhaustively covering a few things. The Republican GOP field, Keith Alexander and I tackled that during the first hour. In the second hour, we stayed with issues closely related to that. More talk about Ron Paul and what he's been up to lately. Of course, we're talking about Herman Cain and the way the media is trying to deify him and designate him the Republican frontrunner. He's replacing Rick Perry, apparently, in that regard. And, of course, we were talking about the Herman Cain-Rick Perry ta-ta-ta about the hunting cabin in the 1980s and all that business. Anyway, we talked about it for a couple of hours tonight already. And then we, of course, had Brian from Arkansas call in with a very, very interesting story. If you missed any of it, don't forget that our broadcast archives are available to you free and on demand at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can catch the most recent our most recent show for a week for free. And they're at the archives. So if you missed any of tonight's show, if you're tuning in late, first of all, where were you? But secondly, you don't worry. You can catch the first couple of hours in the archives and this hour, too, after the show is completed right there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. That being said, we're going to cover a lot of ground tonight in this final hour. New York has welcomed their first transgender firefighter. And, of course, the media is just celebrating this as the greatest thing since sliced bread. Finally, we've arrived in America. We have transgendered people serving as firemen. We're going to give you that story. Big Brother checks Facebook. You knew that. But did you know that having pro-white commentary, they call it racist commentary, is worse than being a drug addict or pedophile if you're looking to get a job? We're going to tell you that story. You can quote John 3:16 in Texas at a service station and get a big discount on your oil change. That's a little bit of good news. You don't often get good news in the political cesspool. We're going to give you a little bit tonight coming out of Red State America, Texas, a Christian businessman offering the big discount if you can quote John 3:16. And we salute him for that. More good news. Hispanic students are vanishing from Alabama schools. The law is working. To start to have it working in Alabama, let's implement it everywhere from sea to shining sea. And finally, my good friend and yours, Bob Whitaker, the former Reagan appointee himself, has appealed to Russian president for solidarity against white genocide. We're going to cover each and every one of those stories in depth tonight during this hour, before the show concludes. And we're going to get on it right away at the start of the next segment. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you something that you already know all too well. The Political Cesspool Radio Program is a listener-supported broadcast entity. If you enjoyed the show, why don't you consider leaving us a little tip in the tip bucket tonight? We can't go out and get commercial sponsors to advance our work because we tell the truth. They don't like that. It's controversial to tell the truth. It's hateful to tell the truth. You know, we're not going to get Coca-Cola to underwrite us with a big fat check like they would do if we were hosting a BET program. We stay on the air and reach an ever-growing audience on the national syndicated AM and FM airwaves thanks to you, ladies and gentlemen, the loyal listeners of our program. If you enjoy the show tonight, if you enjoy it at all, any night, there's never a night like tonight to make a donation to our award-winning program. You can do it safely, securely with our credit card processor at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're going to take a break. We're going to get to all those stories I just told you about when the program continues right after these words. Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't understand me, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't misunderstand me, baby. Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, I told you right before the break, gave you about a half dozen stories that I promised to cover before we run out of time tonight, so I'm going to have to talk like the Micro Machine Man. That's a blast from the past for all you kids from the 80s. We're going to have to talk like the Micro Machine Man to get it all in, but let's start with this story out of Texas. Quote John 3:16, you're going to get a big discount on an oil change, and I tip my hat to this gentleman and wish his business well. CNN reports that For God so loved the world, he gave a giant discount on an oil change. It's not exactly how John 3:16 goes in the New Testament, but that is the interpretation of one Texas businessman. Customers can get a steep discount if they recite John 3:16 at Charlie Whittington's Quick Car in Plano, Texas. There has been some pushback from some customers, but Whitting is sticking by his Christian-minded discount. I'm standing up for what I believe. So be it. Bring it on. And I say congratulations to you, sir, for taking a principled stand on something that should be defended, the Christian faith. And who really would complain about this? Who would complain about this? You got a guy in Texas. Everybody in Texas is a Christian. You got a guy there who says, you quote John 3:16 and you get a discount. Well, every legal resident of Texas is a Christian. You quote John 3:16, which is the most memorized verse in all of Scripture. You give it to me, you get a discount. That's something nice he's doing for the community, and it reinforces something good and decent. So who would complain about it? Well, you probably already know because that was a rhetorical question. A guy by the name of Andy Siegel. Siegel, huh? Well, certainly not an Irish name. You know, Andy Siegel. Undoubtedly a liberal Jewish fella. He is the one that apparently was looking into suing this store over the fact. And, you know, but he said he didn't think that he would win the case. It's not discrimination. If you can quote the verse, you get a discount. You don't get penalized. You don't get charged double for not quoting it. But, but leave it to a guy like Andy Siegel to complain. Shame on the people who would complain over something like this. If you hate Christianity and you hate Christians, then feel free to go to another service station to get your oil change. Or better yet, feel free to move to another country that shares your hatred of Christians. A country like Israel, Mr. Siegel. That's the story out of Plano, Texas. What else is going on? That's good news, though. Good news that that this guy would do something like that. Bad news that he has to get blowback from it. Manufactured blowback. I can guarantee you that 99% of his customers enthusiastically quote the verse and get their discount. They love it. Now you got the one guy who, Andy Siegel, who's got to have a problem with it. Hispanic students are vanishing from Alabama schools. Well, this is good news. The new law is working. Illegal aliens are being forced to abide by the law. Very good news. Here is the story as it appeared on Yahoo.com, Hispanic students have started vanishing from Alabama public schools in the wake of a court ruling that upheld the state's tough new law cracking down on illegal immigration. Education officials say scores of illegal alien families have withdrawn their children from classes or kept them home, afraid that sending them to school would draw attention from the authorities. So again, you look at this. They're breaking the law. They don't want attention drawn to the fact that they're breaking the law. And we're supposed to feel sorry for them for breaking our laws, for treating our country like a flop house where they can just come in and sit down and start, reaping benefits as if they were Americans. No right-thinking country in the world would put up with a stunt like this. And we're told we're evil, that we demand that people obey our laws and come here through the system. I don't feel bad about that, and neither should these schools. The story goes on to read that in one county alone, Montgomery County, Alabama, more than 200 Hispanic students were absent the morning after this law went into effect. Many of them withdrew. In tiny Albertville, Alabama, 35 students withdrew in one day. And about 20 more said they were going to be leaving. This is great. This is great. I don't feel bad for them at all. I don't wish them harm. I don't wish them ill will. I don't want to see anything bad happen to them. But, quite frankly, I don't want them here. They don't add anything of substance to the American experiment. They're breaking our laws. They're treating our country and our Constitution with disrespect by even being here, going in and sending their kids to our public schools to get a free education on the taxpayer's dime. I don't feel bad for them at all, for them having to abide by the law. You know, if they were, they're having to move. They're having to move because they were breaking the law. They're criminals. I don't feel bad for them. They should be getting a lot worse. The Obama administration, of course, is filing court documents appealing this law. And I'm sure they'll win. I'm sure they'll get a federal judge to overturn the will of the people in Alabama, just like federal judges have been doing on every matter of importance for the last 50 years, since Brown versus Board of Education, 60 years. That's what they do. That's the Obama administration, though, siding with the illegal alien lawbreakers instead of the good, hardworking, tax-paying, legal citizens, legitimate Americans in Alabama. We'll see if they win. But in the meantime, this law is working in Alabama. It will work everywhere else. It is implemented. We need this implemented nationwide, and I mean yesterday. Getting this done in Alabama was a great start. Now it's time to implement similar measures in every single state here. Get these illegal aliens out of the country. That's the story out of Alabama, and it's a good one. Illegal aliens are beginning to vanish from the schools, meaning that, hopefully, their families are going back to their port of origin. We can only hope. I don't even want to get in to the New York welcomes their first transgendered firefighter yet. That's going to take me a minute to get through. Let's talk about Big Brother. He checks your Facebook when you go in and apply for a job. Your prospective employer is certainly going to be taking a look, if they can, if you have a Facebook. I don't have a Facebook. The political cesspool used to have a Facebook, but then Facebook took it down. So that's not a problem anymore. But here's the scoop. It's becoming more and more common. Let me just say this, too, while I'm on it. You know, we got taken down for no reason whatsoever. We had thousands of fans on that Facebook page, and then, we were just gone in the blink of an eye. So I guess if you're so repugnant, if you reach a certain extent of malodor, I guess Facebook just takes you down. Then you don't have to worry about getting busted out by your boss. Tell you all about it. I'm sorry for all the people who were fans of us on Facebook. I guess you'll just have to go to our own website and read the blog and tune into the show to get your daily dose of TPC. I'll tell you all about Big Brother, and then we'll talk about what's going on in New York when the cesspool continues right after this. I'm James Edwards. Stay tuned, my friends. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this
place. If it's the last thing we ever check do. Facebook, that's what we were talking about before the break. And as I said, it's becoming more and more common for employers to screen the social media profiles of job applicants, and apparently there's only one thing worse than having sexually explicit material, violent behavior, and illegal activity depicted on your Facebook page. You've probably already guessed it, but racist remarks, quote-unquote racist remarks, is the number one thing that companies are said to be searching for. Now, what constitutes a racist remark isn't defined, but in order to play it safe, I would certainly scrub any quotes from the Constitution from my Facebook page if I was going in for an interview this week. You know, we had that story from Minnesota last week where a student was passing out free copies of the Constitution outside of a black cultural center, and a black student came up and said he was going to shoot him because the Constitution was racist and so on and so forth. So everything's racist now, as we know, and that's what my book was all about. Everything's racist. So, you know, what really is a racist remark that these companies are looking for? It could be anything. A growing number of employers, the study reads, are using social media in background checks to examine prospective and current employees. So you could even have a job and still get fired if your Facebook profile doesn't meet all the politically correct requirements, making people rethink what opinions and images they should show to the world. 80% of employers, 80%, use search engines like Google to research their employees' online presence, says Max Drucker, CEO of the digital background checking service Social Intelligence Corporation, which tracks publicly available social media content and manually review objectionable material. Objectionable material has four main qualifiers. Number four, illegal activity such as drug use. Number three, violent behavior. This is what they're looking for. Number two on the list, sexually explicit material. And number one, racist remarks. So apparently, you'd have a better chance of getting a job or keeping a job if you were a violent, drug-addicted felon who's a sexual deviant than a racist. And, of course, as we know, only whites can be racist. Pretty shocking stuff, ladies and gentlemen, the totalitarian grip that is beginning to be put upon us. One quick thing while talking about discrimination. A former white principal has sued her local school board over discrimination. Now, don't expect to hear about this story from the establishment press by any means, which, of course, would be a given if the races had been reversed. But the white former principal of an East Iberville school, that's up in the New England area, has filed a federal lawsuit claiming she was demoted from a job in a case of reverse discrimination. Maria DeLuise filed the suit for unspecified monetary damages in U.S. District Court. Excuse me, it was in Louisiana. I said the New England brain freeze. It was in Baton Rouge, naming as defendants Iberville Parish School Board Superintendent Edward Cancien, among others. She alleged that Cancien promised two other teachers, both black, that she would be demoted from principal so that that school could have a black principal in her lawsuit. So basically, this is, it's a white woman there, and she was demoted because the principal, superintendent told her, it's not about your job performance, it's about the color of your skin. You're not the right color for this job. We want a black principal. That's what they said to her, according to her affidavit. She filed a racial discrimination complaint with the EEOC, of all places, in March, and was demoted from principal to librarian in May. So we'll see where that goes. In the meantime, diversity is our greatest strength, after all. New York has welcomed its first transgendered firefighter. Once again, this is something that should be, and once was, considered to be a mental illness. It's a mental illness to be a homosexual. It must be some advanced form of the problem to be transgender, to take it so far, you start hacking off body pieces and pretend to be the opposite sex. But now, that sort of behavior is being celebrated. And this is the story. Listen to how they frame this in the story. One of New York's bravest is breaking barriers, becoming the first transgender firefighter in city history. The male-to-female firefighter has openly been welcomed by the Fire Department of New York, even as a Brooklyn judge handling a discrimination lawsuit against the department has blasted it for its lack of diversity. So which one is it? Is it being welcomed, or is it being discriminated against? Apparently it's both, according to this story from the New York Post. The tall blonde, who now goes by the name of Brooke, is a third-generation firefighter. They call him a her, so I'm just reading it from the story, with her father still on the job. The Post is withholding her full name. It's not a her. It was born a man. It is a man. It pretends to be a female. It may have had a surgical procedure to remove his penis, but it's still a man. Okay? I don't even know why I'm forced to say this, because it's such common sense. You know, why am I wasting time saying this? Well, because this is what they're pushing on us. This is what is being passed off as normal. So now you have to combat it, because they're gaining a foothold there with this sort of deviancy. The story continues around the headquarters where he/she is currently assigned. The famously macho Metro Tech department, almost 100% male, with only 32 women on the job, Brooke is taking her transition in stride. It's a tremendously courageous decision. Hopefully everyone will be supportive. What else does this say, this story? So sick. So sick. I'm skipping now to the bottom of this monstrosity. The New York Fire Department has been battling critics for many years who claim the number of black and female firefighters are way too low. Believe it or not, even in a place as infected with diversity as New York, white males make up about 91% of the 11,000-member New York Fire Department force. Believe it or not. The Fire Department of New York has a lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender organization, and some members are openly gay, but Brooke is the first transgendered he/she in the firefighting ranks. In 2005, a city cop went public with his decision to become a woman. Officer June Lowe, formerly John Lowe, said that the Queens Transit Task Force has been supportive and understanding. Okay, look, Brooke, give me a break. I'm not even going to read the rest of the story. It goes without saying that Brooke would be better served seeking serious mental help rather than pretending to be a woman who is pretending to be a fireman. And it's like I told you a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about, you know, homosexuals and women in the armed forces. You know, this applies, as far as I'm concerned, to normal heterosexual women too. They shouldn't be soldiers. You know, if you are in war, you're taking fire, you're injured. Let's just say you're injured. You may die. You know, who would you rather have in the trenches with you to carry you back to safety? A 5'2", 200-pound woman or a 6'2", 220-pound man? I mean, this is just common sense. It shouldn't even be slightly controversial. You know, if they want to serve as nurses and as secretaries and things like that they've done traditionally, that's fine. And I know I'm a little bit off of the whole transgendered nonsense, but, you know, we're just talking about normal women now. Women have many natural gifts that men don't have. But dressing up and playing soldier isn't what God had in mind for the fair sex. Rational people still find this to be true, and they agree with me on this transgendered nonsense. We got to take a break.
place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, before we get to the last segment's already here. Here we are again at the end of another great show. Before we get to our Washington, D.C. correspondent Peter Scoop Stanton, who bats cleanup here at the end of the broadcast, I want to quickly tell you of two other stories that we're tracking at thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. Former Reagan appointee Bob Whitaker has appealed to the Russian President Dmitry Medvedev for solidarity against white genocide. Word reached me over this petition that he is sending to the Russian president. And I was asked if I could share word of the effort with my audience. And, of course, how could I say no to that? There is an online petition that awaits your electronic signature. I would read it for you if I had the time. But it's great, and I think you should check it out. Give you a little teaser there. Rather than reading it for you, I'll allow you to go read it for yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check out the blog entry entitled Foreman Reagan Appointee appeals to Russian President for Solidarity Against White Genocide. Actually, I'm going to eat my own words. I'm going to read it to you because it's pretty short and it's too good. Here's what it says. We're a group of suppressed American dissidents asking Russia to have solidarity with us. Russia is the only majority white country that does not grovel at the feet of the United States and its European Union. The question comes up regularly over here. Is Eastern Europe ready for immigration yet? It is demanded of every country in Europe and America that it literally change its complexion, that they bring in tens of millions of third world immigrants. The question is never asked of Japan or Taiwan, but it is demanded of equally crowded European countries like the Netherlands and Belgium. No one mentions the reason because we all know it. Europe and America are majority white. It is an automatic demand made on only white countries. Massive third world immigration and assimilation, it is a demand made on all white countries. The cry is Asia for the Asians, Africa for the Africans, and white countries for everybody. We dissidents make a declaration of this, which is blocked as rigidly as any dissident was blocked in the Soviet Union. We ask Russia to throw this genocidal demand back into the faces of the American and European establishments. That is the petition, word for word, sent from former Reagan appointee Bob Whitaker to the Russian president. There is an online petition that awaits your signature. You can find it by going to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out. That's the petition. I read it for you. I did what I said I wasn't going to do. I felt obligated. And finally, on a much lesser note, you know, the NBA is still in a lockout. The players only make, you know, obscene amount of money. A guy like Joe Johnson, who's never led his team even to a conference finals. He plays for the Atlanta Hawks. He's got a 500-square-foot shoe closet. Now, this is a guy that is an average NBA player, certainly not a superstar, not an all-star. And he lives in the lap of luxury with a 500-square-foot shoe closet that looks like a museum and that you can't even enter it without this special fingerprint identification system that he has put on the door. And they're not getting paid enough. And they don't think they're getting paid enough. Anyway, you can check that out too. All right, Pete, you're up, buddy. What do you got for us tonight?
Political cesspool family. I want to add my two cents and talk about the Occupy Wall Street movement. Yesterday, I was up in the northern New Jersey area, just across the river from the island of Manhattan. And I was saying to myself, gee, I like to go down and occupy Wall Street. However, I went to a job interview because I'm trying to get a job and make more money. And then after the interview, I drove back home to Virginia so I can take care of my wife and kids. So what's going on down on Wall Street is that a bunch of dirty, filthy young white people are complaining that they don't have any jobs, a whole bunch of student debt, and they're arguing, they're protesting against, quote-unquote, corporate greed and corporate corporatism in Wall Street, and anything that any capitalism. Well, these people complain that they have no jobs, and tens of thousands of dollars of student debt have only themselves to blame by voting Democratic. Because thanks to the Democratic Party and the sellout Republicans and every other leftist, these people can thank themselves that they lost out on scholarship that's given to only the minorities. They lost out on in-state tuition or lower tuition because states like Texas give in-state tuition to illegal aliens. And then once they get out of school, they can thank their Democratic Party for pushing affirmative action, so a whole bunch of people that are less qualified than these white people got the jobs instead of them. And they can also thank the failure of the Democratic Party for pushing the good old Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And while they're protesting corporate greed in Lower Manhattan, the protesters are organizing and spreading word about computers built by the Dell Corporation, Apple Corporation, and using software designed by the Microsoft Corporation. And then if they have the wireless free internet connection, it's usually powered by the Verizon Corporation, AT&T Corporation, or Sprint Corporation. And the protesters that decide to use a toilet indoors and not use the city street or city park are using the local restroom at a local McDonald's, which is franchised by the McDonald's Corporation of Oak Brook, Illinois. And then they're using video cameras and camcorder phones to record these events and upload them to YouTube, which is owned by the Google Corporation. The cameras and phones by themselves are made by Canon Corporation, Toshiba Corporation, and the Apple Corporation. And then this gang of idiots that despise millionaires and billionaires are teaming up with MoveOn.org, which is founded and funded by none other than billionaire George Soros, who made his fortune in the financial market.
Right.
And then these Occupy Wall Street wonderful people are teaming up with labor unions that represent people who have jobs and take in literally millions of dollars in union dues and then promote everything that goes against the working man. And then on top of that, they're using a Saul Alinsky tactic by attacking the police, and then when the police turn around and have to handle business, then they pull out the camcorders that are made by corporations and upload it to YouTube. And I'd like to, people ought to look at the New York Police Department and be amazed at the amount of restraint. Because back in the old days, if the different mayor was in town and these people were acting a fool, well, guess what? The NYPD would go and do their thing. But Mayor Bloomberg wants to treat these people with kid gloves. Well, guess what? These people are acting disorderly. They should be charged with disorderly conduct and dealt with accordingly. But unfortunately, the powers that be are afraid of these people and are practically, giving these people service. Do you need something to eat? Do you need something to drink? A place to sleep? I'm with the New York City Police Department. I'm here to help. James, back to you.
Yeah, believe it or not, there was a bigger news story in New York this week than the transgendered pervert that is now serving your community on the fire department scoop. It's this story on Wall Street. And, it looked like a recreation of the old, days on the Selmer Bridge. You got all these people, blocking traffic on the bridge and, the cops having to back them down. But, how do you cite them all for disorderly conduct? There's like 10,000 of them.
Well, if the police department is trained for riot control, I mean, if they just play with someone's hats and bats and then they have just go down with the sheep riot shields and start pushing them and then they have guys in the back with handcuffs to just grab them and, take away the paddy wagon. And another thing I wanted to bring up is that these people have tens of thousands of dollars in student debt. Well, nobody told them to go to a high-priced school. They could have joined the service and used the Montgomery GI Bill like I did, or they could have gone to community college. And then they're mad that they can't get a job. Well, nobody wants to give you a job paying $100,000 for a piece of crap blog saying Obama's great and that James Edwards and Pete Stanton and Jared Taylor are racist.
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see about that, won't we, buddy? But I tell you, Well, I was going to tell you something, but then I looked at the clock, and I know we're getting short on time here, but hard to keep it all straight up there. We haven't covered the whole Wall Street thing at all on this show until you brought it up just a moment ago, in passing. And it just dawned upon me while I was listening to your commentary that even on the website, we haven't covered what's going on up there in Wall Street with all of these protests and so on and so forth. Richard Spencer has covered it. I would encourage folks interested in this story, Peter Scoop Stanton just piqued your interest, go check out alternativeright.com. A couple of good articles on there. You might have to dig around for them, but they're both recent articles about what's going on in New York with the protests and Wall Street and all that business. Maybe we should cover it a little more in depth next week too. But you know, there's always too much news to cover in 3 hours, right, Scoop?
Yep.
Well, you got that last word in right before the music started playing. They're playing our song, my friend. Thanks for calling in tonight, Pete. Thanks for your contributions to the show. Look forward to hearing your report next week as well. And on behalf of Peter Scoop Stanton, the entire staff here in Memphis, Tennessee, and in Utah with the network, I'm your host, James Edwards. Thanks for listening to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Don't forget to support the show by going to thepoliticalcesspool.org and making an online contribution tonight. In the meantime, we'll see you next week. Stay tuned, everybody.